College housing is pretty easy for college freshmen. Many of them live in the campus-provided dormitories. It's when they want to move off campus that things get interesting. Interesting in this sense is not always a good thing. Students at Southern Oregon University report some issues with Ashland landlords, issues like landlords not giving students a fair chance at renting places in town. A fair housing campaign is seeking help from the city of Ashland and got some new direction from city council just last night. Christy Wright is the fair housing campaign manager and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange here in the studio. Christy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
So is this an issue that I can't imagine this is new? This is probably something that goes on for generations with students at Southern Oregon University and, for that matter, a lot of campuses.
Absolutely. It's something that's been happening at Southern Oregon University for years and in many universities around the country.
And so what, you just sum up the basic issue for us.
So the basic issue is that many students are struggling to find housing off campus because it's quite common to see housing ads, especially on Craigslist, that say no students or students need not apply.
Really? Just that they're that
just
straight out there?
Flat rejection. And that's really difficult for students who are responsible adults, who would be good renters, who have good rental histories, but cannot find housing because they are being unfairly discriminated against.
Is it even legal to say no students or students need not apply?
It is entirely legal to say no students. There are fair housing laws at the federal, state, and local levels that protect certain groups. So you can't refuse to rent to someone based on their race, sex, religion, a number of other factors. But students are not protected.
Not a protected class.
Nope.
Okay.
And that's what we're trying to change.
Is there a perception that things are getting worse over time in Ashland?
I'm not sure that things are getting worse over time, but it is a very prevalent problem. We did a survey about a year ago of students where 67% said they had been denied housing based on their student status. That's a pretty big problem.
67% denial, that is a pretty steep thing. And these are the places that didn't say students need not apply, right?
Well, the question was asking students if they had been denied housing based on their student status. So that could have included places that said no students. Students shared their stories of applying for housing and then being told, no, you're a student. We won't even consider it.
Ashland must be a fairly tough place to have to go through this process anyway, because it's not that big a town. The student population is not that big, but the real estate values are very high. So it's not like there's a whole market that really caters to students. That's a huge one anyway, not in a campus town like, say, in Eugene, for example.
Well, students do make up about 1 in 4 Ashland residents, so I would disagree that they don't make up a big portion of the population. I think they do. I understand that Ashland does have a low vacancy rate, and we're not asking for guaranteed housing. We know it's a competitive market, but we do want a fair chance to be able to prove ourselves based on our individual merits and not be stereotyped as unreliable renters, because there are many students who would be responsible renters.
And do you have any, you said 67% of the students said they'd been denied housing because they were students.
Yeah, and most of the respondents to that survey, well, a plurality anyway, were between the ages of 21 and 25. But we know that about 30% of SOU students are over the age of 25. So we're not talking about kids here.
All right, because there are a fair number of non-traditional students.
Though. Absolutely, SOU more so than many other Oregon universities.
That is a higher rate than at the other?
Yes.
Other? Yeah. Uh-huh. And so what you're saying then is, as somewhat older people, then they do have a bit more of a track record and usually a pretty decent one at that.
Yeah, and even some of the younger students do. We just...
No, go ahead.
I froze up. Okay.
The point with non-traditional students, okay, they have a rental history.
Yeah, they have a rental history. Oftentimes they have solid employment, reliable income. You know, federal financial aid is reliable income, and it already is protected under the fair housing laws. So what we'd like to do at this point is really facilitate a dialogue between landlords and students to address the concerns, because we understand that landlords want to protect their property, and that's a totally legitimate thing to want to do. We think they can do it in a way that protects their property while applying fair standards to everyone, not saying, oh, you're a student, don't even bother, saying, hey, what's your background? What's your rental history? You know, do you have a criminal history? Let's talk about this and come up with guidelines for behavior on the property. So if a landlord doesn't want, say, noise after 10 o'clock, that's totally okay. And I presume that they would want that quiet hours, whether the tenant is a student or not. That's something that should be discussed and put in the rental agreement. And we think that, you know, perhaps we can build bridges and break down these stereotypes about students, because we're not all a bunch of partiers.
I have to wonder, you know, you mentioned that this was a lot of the information was obtained in a survey, and 67% indicated they'd been denied housing. I wonder if you picked up any anecdotes along the way, too. I mean, did any of the somewhat older non-traditional students go back to landlords and say, look, I understand you say no students, but You know, I'm 30 years old. I've got a long track record of success. I can give you references from all my previous landlords. They all love me. Anybody ever try to do stuff like that?
Yeah, we did have some students share their stories about trying that. Several students were actually quite far along in the application process when the landlord found out that they were a student and suddenly rejected their application. I've spoken to many students on campus. We've been working on this campaign this year quite intensively on campus, talking to students. Many students have shared their stories with me of trying to talk to landlords, trying to convince them, but just being shut down. And I should emphasize, too, that we understand that not all landlords are like this. There are many landlords in Ashland who are helpful to students, who do listen to us and give us a chance. But the problem is big enough that, you know, many students I talk to on campus say, yeah, you know, this is a big problem. We're really happy that the student government is taking it up.
Do the students then end up getting clumped into some particular housing developments, not subdivisions, what do you call them, housing complexes, apartment complexes, where it tends to be favorable to students and somewhat ghettoized, for lack of a better term?
Yeah. Students do end up clumping in certain apartment complexes, and we don't really want to be segregated, but that's how it turns out. Many students also end up moving away from Ashland, moving to Talent or Phoenix or Medford, which of course increases the commute, which increases the cost. And we also know that students who live further away are less likely to be involved on campus and therefore more likely to transfer to another school, which is of course bad for SOU and our community.
We're talking to Christy Wright, who's the Fair Housing Campaign Manager at Southern Oregon University, about issues that students are running into attempting to rent housing in Ashland. Phone numbers on the exchange if you'd like to join this discussion, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So you did go to the city council 2 weeks ago and then again last night. So tell us about what you were seeking each of these times.
So 2 weeks ago, several students spoke to the city council requesting that they direct their legal staff to craft language amending the local fair housing law to protect students. And what that would mean is that landlords would no longer be able to reject applicants only based on their student status. They could be rejected for other reasons, right? So if someone has a bad rental history or they don't have a solid income, then we're not saying that landlords have to rent to them. But we do want students to be protected from unfair discrimination based on their student status. And so we were asking the city council to take a step in that direction. Then last night, they did take a step in that direction. They referred the issue to the Housing and Human Services Commission, which is the body in the city of Ashland who's responsible for this sort of thing. And we have been working with them on it for the last year or two. But their job is to facilitate a dialogue between students and landlords, to develop a solution that works for everyone.
And what are some of the steps that you would like to see happen? I mean, what are some of the logical moves that would be fairly easily implemented? And it sounds like it just doesn't even have to be through ordinance or anything like that.
I would really like to get a bunch of students and landlords in a room together and just talk about people's concerns and try to address them. And because I think we can address a lot of the concerns about, you know, property protection, about communication. And I think a dialogue would go a long way toward achieving that. We have reached out to landlords, but I think it would be helpful to have the Housing Commission as an intermediary so that everyone feels like their voices are being heard.
Are there situations where people will rent to students? And so in other words, they don't put the whole, like, forget it, don't even bother to apply if you're a student thing, but then they'll charge such high deposits that it makes it prohibitive for the student to move in?
That's a really good question. That is a problem, too. According to our survey, about 41% of students had experienced that, being told that they needed to pay higher deposits simply because they were students and not because of any other factors. We don't think that's fair either. We think if a student can prove themselves, if they have a good rental history, then they shouldn't be asked to pay more money just because they're a student.
It sounds like for some of them, proving a good rental history means having to live in one of these places where they're mostly just students, and then being able to move up, I guess, for lack of a better term, into a place that is not so much of a segregated student area.
Yeah, some students take that route, but not all students have that option. You know, there is a limited amount of housing around here, and some students get so frustrated that they just end up leaving.
Was there some debate when you went to the council 2 weeks ago about what they'd do? I mean, it took them 2 weeks to decide until last night.
What happened 2 weeks ago is they put us on the end of the agenda, and then they ran out of time. So they didn't actually discuss it until last night. But there didn't seem to be any objections to referring it to the Housing Commission. We have been working very hard talking to counselors behind the scenes and working to address their concerns and come up with a solution that will work for everyone. So I don't think they were surprised at all by what we asked for, and I think they were very amenable to directing it to the Housing Commission.
Is there a timetable now, though, which gets to be a bit of an issue because you've just entered the final quarter of the academic year at SOU, so you could end up getting some recommendations back from the Housing Commission just in time for everybody to leave for the summer?
Well, I will be sticking with this campaign through the summer and the fall and perhaps beyond. That can be a problem sometimes with student campaigns, where we have turnover in the student government each year and issues get sometimes forgotten. But we're making sure that doesn't happen. We have a lot of students who are very passionate about this issue who will be around next year.
You mentioned wanting to get a bunch of students and a bunch of landlords in a room together. Does that meeting of the minds seem like it is a potential event?
Yeah, I want that to happen this summer or fall. I think that I would be very excited to help to participate in one of those discussions.
I have seen some communities that try, for example, to pass a limit on the number of students sharing dwellings. So that was an attempt to pass. Chapel Hill, North Carolina is the most recent case that comes to mind, where the University of North Carolina is. Have you taken a look at what other communities have done in terms of students and student housing? And actually rental housing to students?
Yeah, we know that in Corvallis, Oregon, they passed a protected class for age, which helped students out a lot. And that allowed more students to find housing in their community. But also in Austin, Texas, in Madison, Wisconsin, they have students as a protected class under their fair housing law. And that seems to have worked well for them.
Interesting. And so in Corvallis, it is not an issue of them being students. It's just how old they are.
Yeah, the issues are very much related. I mean, what we ask the city council to do is enact protections for students and age. Because if you only enact protections for students, then it's possible that landlords could implement an age minimum that would exclude most students. And that's not what we want.
All right. So then, back to the timetable then.
I mean, yeah.
When is the Housing and Human Services Commission supposed to hold meetings or hearings or are there steps that did the council set out a timetable for them to come back?
Well, the commission meets once a month. Their next meeting is in the last week of April, and we will be discussing how best to move forward and what the timetable will be for these discussions. The council did not give a timetable, but I am hoping that we can get this done in summer or fall, and I think that's realistic.
You had mentioned again wanting to get landlords into a room with students. Has there been much outreach from your campaign to landlords directly?
We have reached out to landlords who are involved at the Housing Commission. We have sent emails to the Renters Association, have not been getting a lot of response, but I think that that might be starting to change now that the City Council has been considering this issue.
Is it causing any issue for students to have, for example, homeowners who think it's just better to rent their places short term? I mean, we have the whole Airbnb thing coming along now where people rent their homes for short term periods to people visiting town at pretty good prices. You know, so it's a good income for the landlords and potentially less wear and tear on the place than having a student live in there. Is that having an impact on housing available to students in Ashland?
I think it has an indirect effect on that. I mean, certainly when people are focusing on short-term vacation rentals, that means there are fewer houses available, not just for students, but for all residents of Ashland.
All right. So describe the arc for us now, Christy, about the beginning of this process and where you are now and what it feels like to have made at least this much progress.
It feels good. I feel like we're taking a step in the right direction. About 2 years ago, students started working very intensely on this campaign, working with the Housing Commission, reaching out to students. And I should clarify that the Housing Commission was the name of the group before last summer. Now they are the Housing and Human Services Commission. So if I slip and say the Housing Commission, I really mean that same group. About a year ago, ASSOU worked with the commission. ASSOU is the student government, the group I represent, to survey students about the issue. And starting in the fall, which is when I took up the campaign, we started really talking to students, doing a lot of outreach to students and to the city council, trying to move this forward. Because this is an issue that really affects students' lives, that really affects our ability to thrive in this community. And, you know, we want to be responsible adults, be involved in the community, and be treated as members of our community and not as second-class citizens.
So this feels like progress.
It does feel like progress. I think this is definitely a step in the right direction, and we're very pleased.
All right. We will keep track of things and see what happens with the Housing and Human Services Commission in Ashland on the issue of fair housing for students. Christy Wright is a student at SOU and the manager of the Fair Housing Campaign. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.